Our guest in the cafe this morning is Sarah Latham, Hunt County AgriLife Extension agent. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to touch on several things this morning. I saw in your blog that you do, you put out a little article on spinach and the wonders of spinach.
Yes. So one of the things that we've started kicking off is our Path to the Plate is a initiative that we've started from A&M. It's kind of highlighting different vegetables and fruits so that people can understand the different benefits these vegetables and fruits have on our bodies from the ground to our plate, and so that we kind of have a better understanding where our food comes from. And spinach was one of the items that we highlighted recently.
Mm-hmm. And you got into a little bit of the history of spinach, and it doesn't really grow too well as far as people trying to grow it up here,
right.
more to the south. But has enormous benefits, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin K, a lot of protein.
Yes, and it's one of those things that's really easy to cook, and once you kind of get the taste of it, it's one of those things that you start to crave. It's one of my favorite things to eat, and you can eat it in various manners. You can eat it fresh or raw, or you can cook it, saute it, you can put it in soups and dips. It's a really easy thing to cook and add in to get lots of different vitamins.
I think more people may be having it raw in salads now, but you said between 2006 and 2016, a 29% increase in spinach production in Texas.
Right. Yeah, no, it's incredible. You know, you kind of lettuce is a lot of water, whereas spinach has a lot more vitamins, minerals, and nutrients in it, and so you kind of get a lot more bang for your buck with spinach than you do with lettuce.
Right. So anyway, people are catching on to it, and Sarah has an article on her blog on the AgriLife page if you'd like to have a look at that. Saw something else on your Facebook page here recently that caught my attention. This was an item on electric multi-cookers.
Yes. So
better known as an Instapot. That's at least is the brand name of the one of them.
Right. And then they're kind of the modern take on what we all probably grew up our mothers using, just a pressurized cooker. I can still hear the sound of my mother's pressure cooker, and I believe she still probably uses it, old metal, the sound that you hear cooking. And so this article was more on the safety of the food that you're actually cooking from it, making sure that it reaches the temperatures. But it's also important to understand the safety in using those pressurized cookers. And these are the electric ones that are out now that are very, very popular.
My wife brought one of these home recently. I never heard of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's amazingly fast.
They really are. And they really are, truly, they're changing the way people cook lately, because you can do so many quick meals with them, and they really, there's, you know, they're coming out with different recipes that you can just do in just a really short period of time. And so for working parents, they're changing the way you can do meals at night.
Yeah, I would think it cuts down what might take, I don't know, 4 hours down to an hour or maybe a half hour. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and funny, my coworker and I, Sarah Allen, and I were talking yesterday, and she was mentioning how she had actually cooked some corn for one of her goats, because she'd made some meals for her animals for okay. children. So you can do all kinds of variety of things.
I would not have thought of that. We're talking with Sarah Latham, Hunt County AgriLife Extension agent. But now the article you put up said you still should use a meat thermometer and so forth. So fine. But again, the pressure in those things is enormous. And the first time I tried to open one, you know, I was, you know, just about scared to death, because the you feel that pressure coming out, and it's tremendous.
Correct. So. Yeah. And you really have to follow the directions and make sure that you're using proper safety when you're using these items, because you want to make sure that you depressurize them before you try to open them, so that you don't come in contact with any of that hot steam, because they are very dangerous. And I know that there are I've seen a lot of pictures of the horror stories on Facebook of people getting second and third degree burns from these steam that comes out. So you want to make sure that you're being very careful when using these items.
Read the directions. Maybe there's some videos on YouTube or whatever, but need to know what you're doing.
Yes.
With those
Be things. Very cautious.
Now, we just missed a program you all had for testing regular pressure cookers, but I know you'll still do that at your office on Washington Street at Market Square in downtown Greenville.
Right. So this is kind of the ones where they have the old gauge, and I say old, but you can still buy them. They have an actual pressurized gauge so that you can see how many pounds of pressure you're using. And so a lot of the pressure canners use these, and you bring them in, and we check the lid, check the gauge to make sure that your seal is working properly and to make sure that your pressure is at the correct reading. A lot of people don't realize that you need to get this checked every now and then, so that you can, because if you're still within 2 pounds of pressure in either direction, you can make that adjustment. But if you're further off than 2 pounds, then it's usually time to make a new purchase and replace that lid, replace that gauge, or replace the entire canner in general. And so we can adjust for that and make sure that you are cooking at the right pressure. Because if you're not using the right pressure for your cooker, then you're not cooking correctly. And so you're not going to use them the right.
And so people can bring pressure cookers to your office on Washington Street, basically at Market Square, downtown Greenville.
Yes, and it doesn't take long at all. Just bring them in, and we'll check it real quick for you and let you know if it's correct or not.
2 to 4, Friday, March 1st, and we just have a minute or so left, but I see Walk Across Texas is starting up again.
Yes, we're doing a kickoff again for Walk Across Texas, and they've kind of updated it. I know that in the past it kind of... to me, it felt like it was kind of outdated. And so they've revamped it. We've got a new website. It's on howdyhealth.org that you can sign up. And it's much easier to use. It's much more user-friendly. They can actually save a bookmark on their smartphone so that they can enter the miles each day. Much more user-friendly. And if you've ever played fantasy football, it's set up more so like that this year. So there's leagues and there's teams. And so we've set up a Healthy Hunt County Challenge this year. So that's our league, and you can join a team. So if you're interested in that, just you can go on to the website and you can contact me via email, or you can get on the Facebook and contact me, and I'll help you get a team started.
What did you say the website is?
They've changed it. You can still go to Walk Across Texas.
Okay.
Or you can go to howdyhealth.org.
Howdyhealth.org.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to you about that again.
All right. Sounds good.
Very good. Sarah Latham, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us.
Thank
again.
You.
Sarah's the Hunt County AgriLife Extension Agent. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.